Pickaxe.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Sorry if I'm loud. Go turn me down on
Discord. No, you're fine. I've turned you down.
Just right. Tone it down, please. It's really early in the morning. You're getting like overexcited and stuff. Come on.
Hello. Welcome back, everyone, to the Trifles podcast. Apparently, I'm too high energy this morning, which I'm delighted to
hear. Listen to him. He's like, you can hear the sweat flying off of his brow as he's speaking. He's like, hey, guys.
Restart the podcast.
Yeah, we had to restart it.
Because it was so high
energy. We had to
energy.
Yell at him and tell him to tone it down, and he's
it
only come
brand.
Back. And it's high octane again.
I'm in the Energizer Bunny, joined by an old, wrinkly iguana lizard thing.
Is that me?
Period. Yeah, that's you. A bald, angry
reptile. Oh, yeah.
There he is.
That eats grapes. And Sips, who I would consider to be a little ferrety creature living in a basement.
Right.
hanging out.
You're kind of
cute.
Yeah,
like a little
fox. I know.
How
guilty
are you picturing yourself in this trio?
I am a bunny that's been wound up.
Oh, so you're like a high energy little cute bunny. Sips lives in a basement, apparently. Even though you were the basement
that's
dweller.
That's the bit that you chose.
Yeah, you were.
That's the bit that you chose.
And I am a fucking wrinkly old iguana.
Well, look,
could be worse.
I just picture you this way. I don't know. Sometimes you have to, you know, I think about people's fursonas from time to time.
Fursona?
What people would be if they were an animal.
You disgusted me. I got the vaccine a couple of days ago. I wish I could be vaccinated against internet shit like that.
Hey, you know what? I also got the vaccine a couple of days ago on Saturday, in fact.
How did it make you feel?
Do you know what? I got it in the morning. It was like 11 o'clock in the morning. I got home. I felt fine all day. No side effects, no nothing. I was like, oh, okay, great. You know, like, I guess I'm not going to get any side effects. And then that night, when the moon came out, all of a sudden, I didn't turn into a werewolf or anything. I just got like the shivers a lot, you know, like flu-like symptoms.
Oh,
I got the shakes and the shivers. Just felt a little bit like, you know, you can feel like... you can feel something coming on, sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Had a little bit of a headache. So I went to bed and I was like, you know, okay, I'll probably just like sweat it out in the night or whatever, because that's just kind of how my system works or whatever. And sure enough, I was like sweating like crazy all night long. But I woke up on Sunday with like just the
hair
whitest
everywhere.
Hot cranial pain you've ever...
Just like a dead sheep next to you in the bed.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
And it was
and all your clothes were ripped off.
Yeah, and I had a boner as well, which was the weird part. But no, I had a really bad headache when I woke up. So
that's the bit you remembered from Twilight.
Yeah. So I took some paracetamol because they advised to take it if you were having side effects or whatever. And then all through Sunday I just felt a little bit tender, you know, had a headache in the background that the paracetamol was like, you know, keeping at bay, just a little bit sort of like shivery and flu-y, I guess. And then Sunday night, went to bed, woke up Monday, and it was fine. So,
well,
yeah,
I had it on Monday. I had it on Monday,
right,
at about 6:30 p.m. And then I felt fine that day, fine into the evening, no problem. Woke up the next day, same deal, pounding headache.
Yeah.
Felt awful all day.
What did you have? AstraZeneca?
Yeah, the Oxford AZ one. So.
Yeah, I had the same.
And then Wednesday also felt bad.
Any
headache
clotting?
Still there. I hope not.
Any big clots?
No. Hopefully not.
Attack of the return of the clots?
No clot attacks.
No.
But yeah,
no,
I felt bad all day yesterday and woke up this morning and my arm was fucking killing me. Like, it was just so stiff where they jabbed me.
Yeah.
It's a little swollen as well. And I was like, damn. But I feel a lot better today than I did.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Interesting that you had the same effect because you'd obviously already had COVID.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
I thought that you would have...
I thought you'd
have a different effect, but no.
It's just the way that your immune system deals with, you know, like your immune system, your body, like will deal with stuff differently or yeah. the same for the most part. Like I find anytime I'm going to be sick or coming down with something, a virus or whatever, it's always the same. I get sore muscles. Like, yeah. You know, like I'll get like stiff shoulders or like arms or something like that. And then I'll get like kind of shivery in the evenings.
Kind of like a robot. Just like,
and then I'll be like sweating it out. My body will just like heat up at night, try to like sweat it out. And usually that's enough to get it sort of thing.
When I was streaming on Tuesday when the effects were at their worst, where we had the in-houses, so I could only do two games instead of three because I felt so rough.
God.
And everyone was like, oh, your reaction is bad because you have such a strong immune system. And I was like, that sounds like bollocks. I understand the science, the idea behind it.
Yeah.
But I was a very sickly kid, and I do get sick quite badly. Like when I had COVID, it was way worse than most people I know my age group that had it. When I was younger, I had mumps. I had constant tonsillitis. I had to have my tonsils out.
Jeez.
I had whooping cough when I was younger. I had appendicitis. I had to have my appendix out. Glandular fever. I had glandular fever.
A fucking miracle that you're even here.
I know.
I was out there playing hoop and stick in the road. the boy next to me with his top hat, he bent down and kneeled to me and he said, good sir, oh, must thou clearly has mumps. Look at the how swollen thy neck glands are.
Jeez.
God, man. I can imagine it's the Victorian times. You're like,
oh, please, sir, take me to the poorhouse, the almshouse, the infirmary. Oh, it's filled with boys, orphans like me from the streets of London.
So I'm enjoying this visual image of you
as Tiny Tim.
In the UK, it's 42 and over now, right? In the UK for eligibility to get vaccinated. 42
yeah, because Mrs. over. F had hers done yesterday.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's.
Don't want to give away her age.
No. We can guess. We can guess. She's probably like 25 with complications. So yeah, needs to get her
this
vaccine.
Year is our 20th anniversary. 20th wedding anniversary is this year. September.
I'm only joking.
So you could figure she's probably at least 38, right? Assume we got married at 18. We didn't. Sure. We were in our early 20s. So it's one of those things. But yeah, you know, geez.
Yeah.
She looks better than ever. So she's just a fine woman.
No, that's good. That's good. Yeah, the eligibility for vaccines here is slightly less because it's a smaller place. It's like 40, between ages 40 and up now, like have been able to go in and get vaccinated and stuff. But like, I think half the adult population here is done.
Right. Now. I know most of the oldies have had both jabs. I'm hoping the second jab isn't as bad, because I figure at that point your body should know what the fuck it's doing. Like, I've had COVID, antibody jab.
I don't know if you've spoken to many people, but there's like people who are like, oh yeah, well, if you get this jab, apparently you have these symptoms, and then the second jab isn't as bad. But then if you have this other one, the second jab is the worst. And then everybody I've spoken to who has had AstraZeneca said the first one they felt a bit ropey, and then the second one there was nothing. So
okay,
I don't know.
Right,
we'll
good,
see.
Good,
we'll see.
Good.
This is like some high level nerd stuff, though, right? If the people who were really looking into all of the, they're the kind of people who would sneer at the AstraZeneca one and be like, oh, I'm getting the, I don't want the inferior jab. I want the good
one. Because it's what is it, like 75% effective or whatever, which is actually pretty good in vaccine terms, but because the other ones have like higher numbers.
There's always going to be some little experts.
People who, there's min-maxers out there who want to maximize their chances of not getting it or whatever. Mm. Flax has already had it, so he's like the ultimate min-maxer, right?
You'd think so.
Already had it, he's getting the vaccine as well.
So this week I'd be feeling a bit inferior, as always.
In like context?
Well, so obviously since the Queen's Gambit, I've talked about this before, I've been given YouTube videos on chess, right? And I've slowly been
playing chess
every week. You know, I'll see some clickbaity chess video, and
I
as a result,
them. I watch a lot.
I'll
of
get sucked in.
Yeah, they're great.
And so I end up watching a lot of chess videos. So I decided I was going to play a couple of games of chess, and obviously I just get my ass kicked by 4-year-olds or instantly try some wacky thing that I don't know. I don't. My brain can't handle looking multiple moves ahead, I don't think. I think if I go here and he'll go here, and then I'm like, there's like a popping sound in my head, and I'm like dizzy, and I can't calculate any further than that.
Right.
It's like trying to hold on to strands of like grains of sand slipping through my fingers, right? I can't visualize that.
I think
that
it's easier to think. This is certainly, I've played a reasonable amount online chess. Not as much as some
what's
of my
your,
friends.
What's your ELO?
It doesn't matter. It's all against the computer, so it's completely, it doesn't matter. Like, whatever your ELO is, it only matters against people, really. Oh. Playing against a computer doesn't mean anything.
Sounds like somebody's got a low.
No, it's not. It's all right. But yeah. It's only against, ELO. Like I said, it's only against a computer. And the thing is, a computer's AI has personalities, the ones I play against on chess.com.
Right.
So you get to know their openings and their style and what they're going to go for, so you can sort of counter it. Anyway, right. Try not to think about, like, how can I get checkmate? I think it's easier to think about how can I get board position and force them to make mistakes and bad trades and win the game that way, rather than, I'll think of some 15 move ahead checkmate. Because if one thing goes wrong, you've got to reevaluate your entire plan, right? Like, just think about how can I get this square, which is going to be an important one, and pin his pieces in place. How can I force a fork, you know, and try to get pieces and good trades rather than thinking 18 moves ahead? Just think of simply what would be a move here that would make my position stronger and threaten something that he would have to respond to.
Totally. I mean, I've always been quite leery of chess because of the fact that it's kind of lumped into that same pool of games as Monopoly and Go, and also, I don't know, backgammon.
Wait. You're putting chess, Go, Monopoly.
Okay, forget about Monopoly. Sorry. Like, first of all, the old games. Maybe Bridge is in there. Like,
okay.
But certainly drafts and... Well, older games, right?
Right.
Like, even Snakes and Ladders is in there. It's kind of games that you are aware of, that are old, that have been around since you were a kid. You learned them when you were a kid.
Right.
Either you were forced to play them or, you know, you at least learn them. So I've always known how to play chess, because I think everyone as a kid at some point learns to play chess. And I think, like you said, like I was talking to Rich about it in the office, and he was like, oh, yeah, just learn a bunch of openings, get a good board position, and then you just, you know, just be careful, and then you'll usually win because they'll make a mistake. And I'm like, oh, that's good advice. But then I realized, so I read a quote that was like, play the early game like a book, play the mid game like a magician, and play the end game like a machine.
Right.
I don't know who that was, quote was
okay.
from, but I really liked it because it definitely is right. Like, I'm sure that these you know, you can basically, if you're willing to put the time in to learn all these openings, you can do the first sort of 10-15 moves just out of a book. And I guess that's why it's inherently more difficult for black, because if you're white, you can just learn one kind of opening and
right.
the reactions to that, right? And if he reacts in this way, I do this. If he reacts in this way, I do this. Whereas when you're playing black, you don't know what white's opening is going to be necessarily, and so you're constantly on the back foot, it feels like. I just thought it was really interesting, because I played a few games, and Doug came into the office and was like, oh, I see you're playing chess. And I'm like, oh yeah, I don't really know what I'm doing. And Doug was like, oh, I'll give you a game. So I was like, okay.
I see you're playing chess.
Mind your own fucking business. trying to concentrate here.
So we loaded up a game, because obviously we don't have a real chess set or anything. We just sat next to each other on these computers and played online, and obviously, like, he, like, early in the, like we were only playing for like a minute, and he moved his queen somewhere where I could take it with my bishop, and I was like, oh no. And he went, oh no, like, as soon as he'd done it, and I was like, oh no, I can't not take this now. But after that, I'd sort of crushed his spirit because I just told him I was a noob. I didn't know what I was doing. And he was thinking, oh, I'm going to have a fun game here.
Man, he should have known better, though.
And he immediately just walked into...
He's known you a long time. He should have known better.
But anyway, I didn't particularly enjoy it. I've never particularly enjoyed chess, I think, because I just feel like there's so much... I'm just never going to... I can never perform well. I don't know. It's like playing football.
No,
or
it's
playing...
just practice. It's just practice. I think the boring part of it is that you just need to learn loads and loads of openings and moves and sequences and, like, formations you want to get into and stuff. Like, if anything, it's just mathematical. I'd say it doesn't require any skill to get reasonable at it. Like, if you want to be amazing at it, those guys are ridiculously good.
Yeah.
But a lot of the time, they've studied endlessly, and they just play all the time. And people like Magnus Carlsen and guys like that are just amazing at the game. They see it much more clearly than other people, and the moves they make are brilliant. And it'll often be one or two moves in a whole game that are anything unusual, but that's enough to tip it, and they win. So, I mean, if you just want to be average at chess and be able to have decent games, don't stress. It's just, you know, well, it's just practice.
I don't know. Like, there's just something inherently, like, I don't necessarily maybe get a lot of bores joy
you.
Out.
Yeah, maybe it
of
just
it
bores
feeling,
you.
Knowing constantly that I don't have the capacity to kind of.
Lewis, no one's judging you. I think that you're worried.
I am.
Well, Sips is judging
I'm
you.
I'm judging him. Harder.
I'm not.
Why, I am so
it.
Disappointed. You think you know
a
guy.
I'm judging myself.
You think you know
you're
a
right.
guy. And it turns out you say you're just like a crying little bitch about his. Chess, I didn't do the opening. The Sardinian Crush as the opener. And I'm not feeling too good about myself. Come on, it's chess. This is how you're meant to have fun, you know. Like you're meant to do some booyakashas when you take their pieces, and then you know you guys slap each other's asses and go out for a beer after it's all done. It's good.
Do you guys think
I'm doing it wrong?
So
I'm doing it wrong.
I was reading a thing about.
I need to change my attitude. Really, actually, you're 100% right.
You got to change your game plan on this one.
I need to do the more booyakashas. I'm not. That's the thing. I'm not.
That's
doing.
What you're missing.
Yeah. But do you think chess could benefit from having a bit more booyakasha and a bit more sort of fun to it? Because I'll give an example, right? They're worried. The football guys, the baseball guys, and all these guys, the guys that own the clubs and the rights and all these big teams,
yeah.
are worried that young people aren't watching their sport.
No.
So one of the things the Super League was meant to do was make younger people more interested in football because it'd be more exciting games. You wouldn't have to watch Burnley versus West Brom in the Premier League. You know, you can go watch AC Milan against Man U every week. That was one of the big pushes that they were making for that. And in baseball, the concern is that the game is too slow.
Right.
Much too slow. And these companies and these people are always trying to come up with ways to jazz things up. Now, chess, if you've ever watched live chess, like you can watch videos on YouTube of live chess, it's incredibly boring. It's basically two people sitting there, leaning over a board, thinking, and then one of them will reach forward and then take his hand back, and then he'll move a piece and then sit back, and the other guy thinks for a second. And then if it's blitz chess and they're running out of time, then it's just constant pieces moving. You can't see what the fuck's happening anyway.
Yeah.
Because you're watching it at an angle.
It's true. And also you're not it's like being in Twitch chat when someone's doing a puzzle game on Twitch and you're sit there backseating and they're thinking about the puzzle. And you've seen the solution,
right.
or at least what you think is the solution. And you're just waiting for them to either make that move or you're frustrated when they don't. And then, yeah, a blitz chess is they're doing a puzzle faster than you can calculate. So there's no way to follow. It's you might as well just be watching a fireworks display. Do you know what I mean? It's like it's just mindless, but exciting just from the idea of just seeing them physically knock
right.
each other's pieces over as they do it. And
but so with baseball, they're one of the things. Baseball has a lot of unwritten rules. One of them is you don't steal the signs. So one of the things the pitcher does is he looks at the catcher and the catcher gives him signs of what pitch he thinks the pitcher should throw. I don't know why the catcher has any fucking say in it. Surely it's the pitcher's job, but anyway.
Yeah, but the catcher's got to catch it when the pitcher jukes the batter, though. So
right.
the catcher's got to be ready, like if there's a curve on it or whatever. Like, because if he misses it, that's embarrassing. That's why, you know, they got to coordinate with each other.
Right, but assuming he's going to throw
and also the batter can
box.
See how the guy is standing and stuff too. He has a better view on the batter than the pitcher does. So he's.
Well, you didn't think the pitcher can see the batter?
No, yeah.
He's just there. He's right there.
Well, the
there.
Pitcher's staring deep into into the batter's eyes, trying to psych him out. Whereas the catcher is sort of like looking at his glutes, looking at his hamstrings and stuff, trying to see where he's shifting his weight and all that. You know, like it's intricate. It's a lot more intricate than you think. They're relaying information
to each
other.
I'm telling you guys about it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's not intricate. I'm just saying I'm confused. Unless it's literally the catcher throwing signs up so that he knows what's coming. But I feel there is some element of strategy there.
I watched part of a documentary about sports psychology. I think I know what I'm talking about. Okay.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah, I didn't mean to question your credentials.
No, I'm just joking. I didn't even watch 5 minutes of a documentary about that.
Okay.
But I did play some baseball at school.
Well, they want to jazz baseball up. They want to jazz it up. And one of the things they want to do is shorten the time between the pitches. Because at the moment, it can be like a couple of minutes between a ball being thrown. Because the pitcher gets up on the mound, the batter comes out, he's fanning about, getting his bat, he's tightening his glove straps, he's adjusting his cap and his hat, he's getting everything just ready. He gets up to the plate, he gets his feet just right. Meanwhile, the pitcher is is rolling the ball in his hand. He's spitting on his hands and rubbing them together. You know, he's getting some of the rosin on his hands and everything. He's leaning in. He's taking the signs from the catcher. The pitcher's shaking him off. No, I don't want to throw a fastball. I want to throw a cutter. And then the batter says, whoa, timeout. He steps out of the box. He stretches his arms. He readjusts his gloves. And do that over and over and over for 9 innings. And the game just, it's fucking dull. Like, it is super boring.
Yeah, but it's an old game. And it's been around a long time. And I think that it's still appreciated by a ton of people. I don't think they have to jazz it up much at all. I think the personality of the players is going to be like a big part of that, like jazzing it up. Some people are just more exciting to watch than others. And, you know, some teams suck for a while and then they, you know, a couple of good trades, they get good again, whatever. Like, okay. I don't think that they need to make any sweeping changes to baseball. I think it's been fine and will be fine for
okay some you're wrong okay. I mean, that's the whole point.
Is but you're that, a big you're half the audience
no
though,
I,
right?
I am a big baseball fan. I love baseball. Sips,
but you've got to say that not, like a lot of the audience don't want it to change and will be very resistant.
But here's the point. It will die.
Stadiums are still full of fans. The people are still buying merchandise. Like, there's,
it's all older people. That's the point. It's the same with football. You go to the Premier League grounds, it's not full of kids. It used to be teenagers and 20-something guys would go to football because they could afford it.
Uh-huh.
Now it's all middle-aged guys.
Yeah.
What happens when the middle-aged guys get too old to go or decide they don't want to go anymore or die?
Well, their kids will start going and will be middle-aged at that point. You know what I mean?
Haven't been going to football for 30 years, why would you suddenly start going?
Well, I don't know.
That's their concern. Also, the middle-aged guys aren't the ones buying shirts. For a family of four to go to football now is prohibitively expensive.
I don't know. I see a lot of middle-aged guys wearing football shirts still, honestly. Like, I think they are buying shirts.
Not in the way that they want. They want them to buy them constantly. Constantly. New kit, name on the back, all that kind of stuff. They want a younger crowd.
I think a lot
crowd.
Of this is the same old, though. They want growth. They want exponential growth year on year on year. And something that probably can grow a bit, but not how they expect it. You know, the people who want to make money off of this want it to scale up and up and up and up endlessly, right? Like, that's just how everything works.
It's how capitalism and the free market and these systems work. You're absolutely right. The fact is
it's not going anywhere.
In order
not.
For the executives to get their multi-million pound bonus, the thing has to grow.
Yeah.
And they end up in this vicious cycle, which, you know, the prices have to go up and they have to hard sell these things, and that excludes people and it drives people out, and the cycle will destroy it. You know, the greed cycle that all business operates under would eventually lead to its failure.
All right, all you I'm know, saying is, if you disagree
I don't
with,
think in a, I don't think in 10 years' time,
if you disagree with what I'm saying,
the stadiums are all going to be empty because a bunch of Zoomers have decided not to follow
all right,
football.
Just honestly, go and read the reports and go and read about the things that the clubs are worried about. About and see for yourself what they're worried about, how the demographic is changing and what it might mean. Because go and have a look.
Well, for sure. Football, go to football's shit. It's fucking shit.
Yeah, but you're
shit.
Not into
it's,
football, it's... Lewis. They're not going to convince you. You get fucking, well, you get stressed out playing chess. They're not going to get you. What if I went to football?
Even when I was a football fan.
What if I dropped my hot dog?
I had a season ticket to Ipswich Town when I was younger.
Well, there's your first problem. No wonder.
And, you know, I'd go up on the train and it was like a dirty stadium and I had to eat horrible dirty pie and I was surrounded by sweaty, shouty, dirty, smelly people.
What age demographic? Could you say these people were
middle-aged? Yeah, I mean, it was not a pleasant thing to I was just squinting to see anything that happened because it was so far away. You know, I don't know. Like,
well,
I just
they get kids in by giving them cheap tickets, and they hope that that's going to mean that they stick around. But the thing is, if as a kid you can get in for a fiver or a tenner or whatever. When you're an adult, now it costs, you know, you have to buy a ticket which costs a lot or a season ticket which costs a fortune. If you're supporting a big club, the season tickets are like sold out. The only way I've been to Premier League games is if Bournemouth are playing them and I get an away ticket, which is hard enough in itself, or I know people who have season tickets for the game and I go and sit in their seats. That's the only way I've ever been to a Premier League game. It's very, very hard to get. You can't just stroll up. Baseball is a bit different. When I went to see the Mariners, when I was in Seattle, the baseball team, we just fucking walked up. And they're like, yeah. And it was cheap. I mean, because they suck.
Yeah, but they're probably like, cheap. You're probably getting nosebleed seats.
No, they were good seats.
Oh,
they were good seats. And it was like, cheap as chips.
I think it's a community thing, right? I think people like the camaraderie, the singing, it's like going to the theater or going to an event, cheering something on with other people. That's what it is. And if you have the right people to go with, or you understand the community, I think it can be very, very powerful.
Right.
This going to a local club and seeing that. That's different to the idea of Manchester United selling their brand across the world. And these Premiership teams are big money. Like, we've seen a lot of American money and foreign money come in and buy clubs in Europe because football or soccer is huge. Europe's a huge market. We sell it to South America as well. We sell it to all over the place. The Premier League is like selling the rights to that is billions, and it's massive. Even like what's his name, Rob McKenney or whatever name from Always Sunny. Yeah. He and Ryan Reynolds recently bought Wrexham, didn't they?
Yeah, but they're clearly doing that to get a documentary out of it. I mean, there's a meme. They're not doing it for any real fucking reason. They don't even know where Wrexham is. They were like, Wales is a country? Wrexham? Ha ha ha. So it's just a fucking wheeze for them.
I know, but...
if I was Wrexham, I'd be livid.
Well, it's because they watched this... I think apparently he watched Sunderland Till I Die, which is this TV series... which kind of any, I think he said basically that, you know, it reminded him of, you know, if his sports fans from Philly, you know, where he grew up, and it was like the same all over the world, that they were the same people going to these clubs, supporting them through thick and thin and ups and downs. But that, I think that talking about European Super League as someone who knows nothing really about any of this, as far as I understand it, you know, in the American sort of system, they have. They don't really have relegations and promotions in their leagues.
They have
this kind of draft system where the worst teams get first pick of the good talent. So the idea is to have these set number of teams.
There's different
that
there's,
are always
there's different leagues kind of, coming up though. Like you'll have like for baseball, for example, like the one you'll see on TV predominantly. I it's probably changed a lot. The last time I watched any North American sports, like in the 90s, but. So you have like Major League Baseball, which is like, you know, the one that with all the big teams that you've probably heard of on TV and all that. But then right below that is like a AAA league, which is kind of like it's a big league. It's just not as massively commercialized as Major League or whatever.
It's just a feeder.
It's a feeder. You know, they'll have like the big teams will have kind of like, you know, like sit like, you know, younger brother teams in that league where they're, you know, looking for scouting up talent to get them up into the major leagues. Like these are normally like younger guys or whatever. And most of the sports work like that. There's college basketball, there's college football that all, like, you know, feed into like the, you know, the national leagues or whatever.
But you know, one of the things that's really different about American sport is the difference between the spending of the top teams and the bottom teams compared to the spending of the top teams and the bottom teams in European football. So if you look at the difference in the NBA between the top spending team and the bottom spending team, it's about 1.3 difference. So the top team spends 33% more than the bottom team. So they spend 1.33 to their one. If you look at the top teams in the Premier League, the top team spends about 25 times more than the bottom team.
Yeah.
So the difference there is that we do not have a balanced structure. It is inherently unbalanced.
Yeah.
It hasn't always been like this. It used to be that the difference between the teams was not that great. They might have bigger fan bases, but they weren't businesses looking to destroy their rivals. This is the problem with these businessmen. They're not sports fans. They're not football fans. They're businessmen who have come in and bought these teams and decided, how can we make our team more successful? Which, even if that means destroying the product, in the short term, we will make more money, and that's our entire goal. So the Super League was about taking these bigger teams and creating their own super product and fuck everybody else.
If you don't set rules, then people will take the game will just drive itself in the direction which evolution will take it in, right?
Why did that only start happening in the 90s?
If chess, like, you know, I'm sure 100 years ago they realized that, you know, the more time you had to think about a move, the better you do. And so these games probably started going longer and longer and longer until it got ridiculous. And then they were like, okay, we need to put a timer on, you know, because otherwise, and then it became the norm. And I'm sure at the time people were like, a chess timer, putting timer into chess, that's going to ruin it. You know, there were certain people who decided that was like, right. I'm
it's
sure
ruined.
There was an outcry.
I'll never watch it again.
You know,
So are you obviously saying that the Super League is a good thing and we just don't understand why yet?
Well, I don't know. I'm just saying that this certainly doesn't feel like there's a level playing field in the Premier League, does there?
Right,
because it's pay to win.
But there hasn't been a level playing field
and
in
so
Europe
why do we
for
even,
a while.
Why do you even watch this fixed, rigged game?
Why? Because I want to see my team win. I support my
team. You want to win, so you want to see your underdog team win against the rigged
team. I want to see if we can get some good results and stay up.
Does that make them the bad guy?
Of course they're the bad guy.
Does that create an artificial bad guy?
Yeah,
the
yeah.
guy who spent like millions on his team? And wow, it's so odd that is, I guess that is drama, but artificial. It's not the.
It's like
a comic book.
I mean, you're saying it's inevitable.
Saying
it's inevitable, but these clubs, most of these clubs are like 100 years old or more. This has only been an issue since Sky came in the 90s. So the problem was we had a system where there were some dominant teams, like Liverpool, for example, were a dominant team for like a decade. They were the best team in Europe and you know, the best team in the Premier League or the first division, and they were dominant. And they were dominant because they had the best players, not because they spent £1 billion more than everybody else, but because they had worked the hardest at coming up with the best tactics, at getting the best players. They scouted the best players. They had the best system. They had a good ethos and they worked really hard and they trained really well.
I'm sure money has always been a factor.
Not in the same way.
Not
in the same way. Because now, for example, let's take Man City playing against, let's say, Fulham. Or let's say even more expansively, when we played against Man City, their bench, the players that couldn't fit on the pitch because they didn't need them, were more valued than our entire team. In fact, you could pick two of those players on their bench and they would be worth more than our entire team. The system is unbalanced because these big clubs love it that way. They do not want any relegation. These American owners, especially the American owners, have come in. I mean, John Henry at Liverpool, his team wins the Premier League, they win the European Cup. It's not enough. We need our own league. We've got to go more. Are we allowing that to happen? We didn't have that, and now we do. And it's fucking money ruins everything. I'm telling you, it fucking ruins everything. I'm sick of
it. Well, it's not happening, though.
Really? It's been delayed. They're going to come up with something in another couple of years. Their regret was not, oh, we're sorry we betrayed you with our shit idea. Their regret was, shit, the launch was really lousy. That's it. They're looking at it from a business perspective. We didn't sell it well.
We'll
wait a few years. We'll try again. We'll pitch it differently. That's it.
Well,
and inevitably, they're going
to
fuck off.
Maybe they do have to do something, though. Because like you said, you know.
I'll tell you what we need them to do.
I ain't watching
We should
football.
Let them fuck off.
I think it's shit.
We should let them fuck off. We should restructure the whole thing. It's on a timer. One player sits on one side of the pitch, one player sits on the other.
Do you know what? It really annoys
me as
well.
And they take turns moving players around on the pitch.
Here's my next annoyance about football. Why do they feel like they have to report it in the news? Come on.
What do you mean?
I mean, I think it's whenever I hear I'm listening to the news and the football comes
on. It's national sport.
How come
Lewis?
Football
it's the national
to
sport.
Be in the news? I don't know. I don't like it. I don't want to hear it. It's wasted, filling up my brain with useless crap.
Do you know what? You're filling up my brain with useless crap.
I've been doing it for 100 episodes.
160 something episodes of useless crap.
And you're only just realizing this now?
No. I've got something for
Wait,
you.
Wait, before Flax has his thing for
Fully
you,
rage.
Can I say something quickly?
Mm-hmm.
My drains are blocked again.
No way!
Yeah, really bad this time. Like, really, really, really bad.
What have you been putting down there?
Well, nothing. I think it's a shared system with like a nearby estate or like a block of flats or something that's
you
like kind of close
You have
close
got
by.
An extra family member since the last time.
I know,
time
but there's no
that
way
bad.
That all that junk that's all clogged up in there is ours. Like some of it, sure.
Is your,
but like
is your child adding a lot more shit into the toilet?
But
is she
I mean,
a real
this
shitter?
Stuff shouldn't really block it all up. Like there's got to be something in there. Like maybe there's like a Tonka truck in there or something. I don't know because it's like really, really blocked. Like it's unbelievable.
It's just draining very slow.
Yeah, because I had my suspicions. I flushed the our downstairs toilet, the guest toilet, as I like to call it. I flushed
Whoa.
It.
Guests, though, not many guests
I
get to use it.
I don't believe guests are allowed to use
instead of a very quick, you know, water down the hole, gone, I noticed that, like, the water rose more than usual in the toilet, and that was the warning. So I was like, fuck, we got a blockage somewhere. Like, I don't think that there's been anything weird put down there or anything either. So I think the drains are blocked. And my wife was like, yeah, you know what? I think the drains might be blocked as well. So I went out
this
morning.
There's going to be like a tub of army men. No,
well,
there's going to be like...
I'll tell you. I opened up the manhole behind the house this morning just to double check before like I phoned somebody this time to come in and sort it out because I don't want to spend more time doing that. It was so awful the first time.
When I went round there, you stood over a manhole looking down into a drain. It's a very dad thing to do.
I've seen my dad. I graduated from that school. I don't want to do it anymore. So I've had to call
the school of hard shits.
So I've had to call a company out to look at it. But so I lifted up the manhole and there's like a pattern on the back of the manhole. And there was so much like toilet paper and junk in there that it was like shaped like the back cover of the manhole. Like it had, you know, molded into it. It's so full of stuff.
It's not moving.
It's paper. There were little turds. Like there was like food. Oh my God. It stunk like hell. Like just behave yourselves. Because if you go to hell and it's my manhole, you're in for it. I'm telling you. It's not nice. It's not nice.
That is such an incentive.
Oh God. It's gross. It's really something else.
That sounds so awful. Oh my God.
So we're
going
to have to get somebody in with the fucking dino rod. They're going to have to push it down and open up all the manholes. It's going to be a big hoo-ha, but, you know, it's got to be done.
Well, they've got high pressure thing that pressures it all out.
God.
They've got, like... got
to make sure I close all the windows, the house, when they get here and stuff, because I don't want any, like, particles flying in or anything, you know?
God, could you imagine if they installed, like, a high-pressure hose
thing outside
your
house? Imagine you're just sitting there, like, reading the paper in your kitchen, at your kitchen table, and, like, just a turd flew in from outside because of the high-pressure hose.
No.
Like, just one little nugget.
You hear, like, a rumbling in the house, like an earthquake, and then out of all of the drains in all of the rooms, there's just...
like a geyser.
Sewage just fucking fire. Hoses out, yeah. Right? And then from outside, all the windows are just splashed with like brown liquid.
Oh, God, please don't.
It's like a shit explosion.
This is a possibility.
It's probably Lego bricks.
Sorry, Flax, you can carry on, but I just thought I would let you guys know.
No, I need the update. Yeah. I'm having work done on my garden right now, so this is all relevant.
This week's sponsor is ExpressVPN. Thanks very much. If you don't use a VPN on your computer or your iPhone or whatever, you should.
Yeah.
ExpressVPN is great. Mm-hmm. ExpressVPN.com/Triforce. It's not a conspiracy that these big tech giants steal your data. Well, just take it. You just give it to them if you're not using a VPN.
They sell it. They sell you, and then you don't get any money back from that.
Shocking.
That's how everyone makes their money, and you have to protect yourself. You want to keep your privacy online. It's, you know, just think about how much of your life is on the internet, and you don't want that to be, you know, taken advantage of. Just use a VPN. I do.
Yeah.
Every day. It's actually quicker. You don't get data caps and stuff and throttles. Yeah.
That's ExpressVPN.
Yeah, keep it secret.
ExpressVPN.
Keep it safe, and you cannot pass. Lord of the Rings,
yeah.
Baby.
ExpressVPN.com/Triforce. You get 3 extra months free if you sign up for a year, so please do that. Supports the show, supports them, look after yourself. We care about you. We want you to be safe out there. You know, if you were my son, and you were on a date with a lady,
I
tell you, you know, use some protection when you're out there. Just consider that. I just want you to be, I just care about you. I'm looking out for you.
Thanks, Dad.
Thanks.
You're welcome. ExpressVPN.com/Triforce. Thanks, everybody. What did I watched Stowaway on Netflix.
Oh, yeah, it was shit.
It was rubbish. Right. Don't watch it.
I was looking for something to watch on Netflix yesterday, and I was amazed that there is just nothing right now. There's just nothing worth watching.
Well, Stowaway managed to be the most drama-free drama. Like, the whole gist is this really unlikely team of three people launches into space on this mission to Mars.
Spoilers for this movie.
This happens in the first 5 minutes, so don't sweat it. They're on a mission to Mars. The film's called Stowaway. Like, you're going to guess that someone stowed away.
Right.
Until you see the stowaway,
for the
you know it's
20
coming.
Minutes, I was like, where's the stowaway?
Well, I mean, how are they stowing away? Just like in the wheel well of the shuttle or something? Like,
they're in, like, the life support compartment. The dude fell asleep in there, or he was knocked unconscious, and they sealed him in there. It's fucking unlikely. They open this panel because there's blood dripping out of it, and there's a dude in there, and he falls down. and he's stuck on the ship with them now, and they can't turn around. And you think there's going to be something nefarious, like he's come there to blow it up, or he knew what he was doing. But nope, he just accidentally stowed away. And the deal is they're not going to have enough oxygen to get to Mars with four of them on board. That's the whole setup.
Right, so they got to float somebody.
Well, that plays out for like an hour and 45, and it is fucking dull.
What are they doing, like, are they like voting on who to float and stuff? Like, is there...
No, it's going to be him. It's the decision of, it's going to be him. He's not part of the mission. Why should any of us sacrifice ourselves? And then they're like, but how can you just kill a
guy?
Is
it one of those ones where like everything goes wrong and like he's like, oh shit, they already want to float me and now they're blaming me and stuff, but then over time... The tides turn and somebody else turns out to be a big jackass and they want to float
him
instead.
Yes. No, that's not what happened, Lewis.
Yes.
They tell him and he's like cool with it. And then they're like, okay. And then other things happen. That's it. It's stupid.
Oh, there's a lot of stupid drama. And then at the worst moment, like, you know, like it's almost like this movie was written for, I don't know, some other fucking setting, like a boat on the ocean, or I don't know, they failed to stow away. Do you know what I mean? Like some more shit real world scenario, because like as soon as they get the MacGuffin from across the other side of the distance, there's a solar storm and it's like, oh quick, we have to get inside to the solar storm shelter. And it's like fucking ludicrous, like that it happens to appear at this particular time of a particular...
I can imagine Lewis his living room shouting at his TV like while this
was
is on.
Furious. Yeah, I'm awful to watch TV with.
I want to watch TV with people who shout at the telly when it's shit, because that's what I do. We could have a joint shout at the TV session. I'm down.
Man,
I'm
me and my wife, we're not like shout at the TV kind of people. What we'll do is if something's not very good or interesting, we'll gradually just start having a full conversation to the point where we're just not paying any attention to what's on TV anymore.
You're kind of snubbing
it. It's like,
yeah, as if they're getting the
some
message.
Some shows
will
just be like dead silent the whole time watching it. Like we'll be super into it or whatever. And then other ones, it's just like, it'll be going on and we'll just be chatting or whatever. And then eventually if the show is still going on, we'll be like, oh, this fucking shit is still on. Like, you want to switch over? And then that's it. It just ends there.
I'd rather be standing over a manhole cover looking at actual shit right
no,
now.
No, you wouldn't. Trust me. Like, I know you think you would like to be doing that, but you would not. Like, I still feel traumatized about it. It's awful.
It's terrifying. Yeah. I made the mistake of that when my dad was looking down a manhole around the back because we had a similar problem in our house. I made the problem of looking down there, made a mistake, and I was like, what I saw down there was very traumatizing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
So I wanted to talk to you guys about, we've spoken about the flat earth before.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not going to go into it again because we've covered it ad nauseum.
Yeah, we talked about the flat moon,
all
and
this stuff,
all the
right.
other flat planets.
Right. So here's another one.
Sun.
This guy on Twitter claiming to be a genius physicist who has discovered this theory. If you are a follower of any of the NASA accounts, you'll see him popping up. Can't remember his name. He tweets about his theory about what black holes actually are.
Right.
Now, most of these theories, and I'm doing the air quotes thing very heavily there,
right?
Because
I can hear.
You can hear the
air moving around
right?
the mic when you did those.
Exactly. That's how harshly I'm air quoting this. Are based on someone looks at a picture, they don't really understand what they're seeing or what the picture is, they draw their own assumptions, and that's now their truth. And how dare you deny them their opinion?
Right, okay.
So he looked at this picture of a black hole, which is not actually a photo. It's like a carefully constructed image using different spectrums of light and everything. You might have seen it. Kind of looks like a donut. Kind of looks like a donut.
Yeah.
So in his mind, well, this is clearly just an eclipse. So he has on his Twitter, he keeps posting it, picture of the donut black hole, which again is not just someone taking a camera and going click and that's a black hole, and then a picture of an eclipse. And he says that a black hole is actually a darker celestial object that's closer to us and a bright one behind it. That's all black holes are, folks.
Right.
Mystery solved. And he posts this constantly over and over again. And he warns you, if I don't think you're up to my level of debate and what you have to say isn't cited, then I'm going to ignore you. Don't take any offense.
Nice.
But my theory is accurate. Yeah. And unless you come up with something to refute it, and people will toast him refutations and he just ignores them because it's like, no, that's wrong. Look, it's very simple. Something is closer to us, something is further away, so it looks like that, but it's an eclipse, clearly, folks. I've got a number of questions for this guy, but obviously, without citations. It would be impossible.
You're never going to really be able to ask them, though, because if they're not the they're not the right questions, he'll just ignore you.
Exactly. He will ignore me. So in a way, he's won the argument because in his mind, he's right and no one's proven him wrong because he ignores everything that disagrees with him.
Everyone has met some absolute C word like this guy, right? Everyone knows this guy, and you identify them as well, like you... With other, like, you know, like, you make eye contact with other people in the room, and they, like, kind of, you know, signal, yeah. They, like, nod. They're like, yeah, okay, this guy.
I know.
You can't, these people are hopeless. You get them from every walk of life, though, from religious people who are convinced one way or another, or people who believe in a conspiracy theory. You know, I've got a friend who is convinced about the moon landings being fake.
Right.
And God bless her, she's lovely, but every time she brings it up, I'm almost ready to strangle her.
Now, I've got a question for you. Is she religious?
No, she's just a bit, I don't know, like, just a little bit, just, I want to say, like, carefree. She just doesn't, just a little bit carefree.
Okay. Right. Like, do you think she also believes in crystals and stuff like that? Would you say crystals is a thing that they also...
I think she could well be suckered into it. Yeah, she's the kind of person who could
homeopathy, crystals, ley lines, that kind of stuff, right?
For sure.
Okay.
You know,
so I was thinking about this the other day, and I made this point to Mrs. F, and on a rare occasion this happens, I suggest a thought to her, and she agrees with me. Normally she goes, nah, I think you're talking bollocks. This time, she went, yeah, you might be onto something there. I was like, this is great! This is a good theory of mine. So here's my theory, right?
Right, okay.
If you think about the people that are into conspiracy theories regarding flat Earth is a big one. I've spoken about this previously. A lot of the people who believe in the flat Earth are also very religious. A lot of the people who believe in all this Pizzagate stuff and that Joe Biden also, is the devil.
Well, there's the
religious
thing you talked about before. But if you believe in a conspiracy theory, you're more likely to believe in other ones. But also, even if they are directly confrontational, like if you believe the royal family are lizards, but they're also vampires,
right,
you're more likely to believe both of them.
Yeah.
Right, but here's my point, is that if most of the people believing these things tend to be more religious, the core of that group tends to be religious, no offense to religious people, but you have based your life on believing stuff without evidence. That's the whole point of religion, is there's no evidence for God. You just believe it. And it's the same with all these conspiracy theories and all this flat Earth stuff. You just believe it. And no one can convince you otherwise. If you are mentally prepared, if you like, if your brain is wired right to be deeply religious, and I don't think that's everybody. I genuinely think a lot of people are wired not to be religious. If you are wired to be religious, I think you're more likely to believe things without evidence or proof, like the moon landings were faked, Joe Biden is the devil, Pizzagate is real, Donald Trump's election was stolen. All these things tend to be coming from a more religious group of people. So I think they're the core of the problem, and we should ban religion.
I think that, like, it's not that he is like, oh shit, I can't say her name, sorry, cut that.
Oh my God.
She's really smart. She's doing a degree and kind of is, I've seen some of her work, and she's obviously very smart, really nice and really clued up. And I asked her, because I was like, are you just doing this as like an interest? You know, because some people like are into conspiracy theories just for the fun of it, because they like the drama and thinking about it and all of everything about it. It's quite exciting, right?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it would be nice to think about if the moon landing is fake. How would that happen? But no, it's definitely believes that it was faked, and like has kind of like to the point where, you know, I don't really want to challenge it, but she's trying to convince me for some reason.
Right,
you know,
so
I'm not bringing it up.
There's a video,
like,
that you could give her to just say, can you talk about this? And it's this video, I'm sure I've spoken about it before, where the guy points out that it would have been harder to fake the filming, like the filming of the moon landings, if they were fake, would have been harder to do than landing on the moon. Because they did not have the technology at the time to film uninterrupted for the length of time that the live broadcast of the moon landing went on for. And film at the time, this was in the 60s, was literally like celluloid print, like that film, the old-fashioned film canisters and everything. So they would have needed a vast film reel that was perfect. I mean, one flicker, one hair, one little burn mark, one little judder, and everybody knows it's fake and the jig is up. So they would have had to do the most technically impossible thing at the time, which was to film this thing uninterrupted for hours with no errors. And even Oscar-winning movies that were like legendary, the huge productions at the time, had errors on the film because it's the nature of physical film. Videotape, if you were to say they faked it now, you could say, well, it's all CGI and all the rest of it. you'd at least be able to argue that. You cannot argue that the landing was fake because the film footage itself proves you wrong.
Isn't
it was
it
possible for them to go to the moon. They had the rockets. They had the technology.
What if they didn't have that, though? Like, it's interesting that because technology does go in like different stages, right? It's interesting that the photography technologies were and the broadcast technologies were the same stage as like the stuff that was needed to get up to the moon, right? Like, if they hadn't taken any photos and film up there,
right?
You know, would more people be more suspicious?
And I think it would be fair enough. If they just came back and said, yeah, we went to the moon, there's a flag up there. If you don't believe us, go look at it. Everybody would be like, what the fuck are you talking about? Of course they had to film it. You can't just have them say after the fact, we went to the moon. Who's going to believe
that?
Reckon?
Well, but the thing is, like, maybe they would have, like, you say they wouldn't have gone to the moon if they couldn't have filmed
it? No. I'm saying that they couldn't fake it.
What would they have done instead? What would they have done, like, if they couldn't film it, though? Would they have, like...
What if they had, if there was no possibility to film it?
Yeah, would they have made, like, a little sign out of rocks, like, hello,
I think they would have had to have some kind of signal, like some mirror or something, and they can signal back to Earth in real time or something.
Right.
Like, they would have needed to do
like
something.
Like, telegraph back.
So at the time... They went to all this effort to fake it, just to say that they were the first people to ever land.
Yes,
on the
to win the Cold War. Like that's the argument is that they did it because they were under pressure and they had to do it. And all the rest
that
of
was
it.
The big payoff. That's what made the effort worth it.
Yeah,
right.
That's the argument is they faked it, and also the argument is that NASA is just stealing money.
Right.
And it's, you know, they're just leeching this money to for all these for whatever nefarious purposes NASA are meant to fucking do. I don't know what these people's sole motivation is, but concealing aliens from us, stealing money from hardworking taxpayers, whatever the motivation you want to come up with is, that's what they think.
Right.
And I mean, I've seen NASA post tweets of CGI representations of what the Voyager probe's going to do or some probe's going to do or whatever. People are like, how did you take these pictures? Lol. This is clear. You're clearly lying. How did you take a picture of this satellite? Lol. Ridiculous. What a fake. I'm like, it's fucking... And they're like, this looks so fake. So yes, CGI representation of what is happening. They can't film it because it's so far away. If they had pictures of the satellite, I would be suspicious with you. Yeah.
Well, we sent two satellites up. One to do the actual work, but then the other satellite just to take pictures of the other satellite.
Exactly.
So that we could show people back home what the satellite looks like while it's up there.
So they can't win.
Fuck's sake.
It's ridiculous.
Oh,
and all the stuff with the Mars landing, people saying that's fake. Like all of this stuff. They're saying it's fake.
No, fuck me. We sent some cameras to Mars just to take pictures of all of our equipment in and around Mars. Oh, God, that's
it's
hilarious.
It's just crazy.
Send David Attenborough
that's hilarious.
Next time.
That is hilarious.
So I honestly don't know what it would take. I think I'm hoping that all this space, I know that, for example, they're talking about taking people up into space as like space tourism, right? And it'll be more affordable in years to come and SpaceX
and
all that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You'll be able to pay to get into a rocket ship, go into orbit the Earth and come back down.
Man, do you know what I'm more excited for? That I'm kind of excited for.
Right.
In our lifetime, I would be thrilled to see that sort of thing. But the other thing as well is I want to do the thing where you take a rocket from a sea platform like here and then you can get to Hong Kong in like, you know, 5 minutes or whatever.
I mean, as
I
long
think
as
that'd
it doesn't
be awesome as well.
Cause vast pollution.
No, I mean, like, I'm just saying like, you know, from a kid who grew up walking to his friend's house in the snow and wishing that, right. You know, teleporters existed at the time and stuff. I just think that would be such a such a good compromise.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know we're not going to have Star Trek teleporters in my lifetime, but at least
you can get to Hong Kong in 5 minutes.
In 5 minutes? Can you believe that? Yeah, no, I think
it would be crazy.
I think that's kind
of
cool.
But so a lot of the people booking flights on these space voyages, these space tourism things, are flat earthers or people offering to pay for flat earth, leading proponents of the flat earth to go up there.
Right.
Like, I will pay to send you up there.
They just want to go up and double check that it's still
flat.
Right,
but they're just going to say, like, this is the big thing about the ships, is they say, as you can see, the windows are curved, which makes the earth look curved. That's a famous one. It's the windows are round, which adds to a curvature, so it makes the earth look curved. Even though there's a wing or something outside the window that is perfectly straight, apparently it only bends the earth. It's all very clever. So you can't win. They like, and I'm saying it's the exact same as religion. And some people who are deeply religious.
And do you think with some of these people, though, they just, I feel like with some of these people, they just don't have anybody to talk to. And they've learned
that
people will talk to them more if they, you know, if they say something like controversial or against the grain or whatever, you know. It's like it's like people who like seek out bad attention and stuff too, right?
Right.
Like,
I think there's definitely
some like psychological stuff at play there too.
I honestly think a lot of it is being happy to live a life where what you think about what you see is enough for you. So your conclusions about things.
I mean,
the earth looks flat to me, therefore it's flat.
Yeah.
I think it's a combination of simplicity and ego, because you're saying I can't tell that it's curved and I don't trust anybody else in the world. But the other thing is that
people are trusting other people though. People have this inherent idea that someone they look up to or they believe, or a role model, or someone older than them who should know and has known and has done their research, you believe them, you know. So you feel you often these cult leaders or people who are these flat earth sort of leaders give themselves this aura of both being a nice person and charismatic enough to convince people that they've done their research. So you should just believe me. I believe in it, so you should believe in it. You don't realize that they have a vested interest, whether that's a free flight to space or a load of YouTube money. You know, you don't. These people also, these leaders are trapped, right, in that lie at that point. As soon as it's their living, as soon as these you know, televangelist preachers, that it becomes the way they pay for their luxury house, they can't change.
No, right.
Even if they've come to the realization, which I'm sure many of them have, that it's all bogus, they can't stop. They can't put on a different front. They have to keep up the lie. They have to keep up the act and sucker in a new crowd.
Exactly. Which is why I'm drawing the comparison. There are so many comparisons between the sort of religious fundamentalists and conspiracy theorists. I honestly think there's a big link. I think because religion is dying out in terms of like popularity, if you like. A lot more societies becoming secular.
My God, is this fucking podcast the end of football? The end of religion? The end of reason? What's happening?
Oh, man. We're getting close. I feel like, my God.
What we need to do is we need to end shit pipes being blocked.
Oh, my God.
We need to end...
Please.
Disease.
Please, can somebody...
Get rid of these.
Stop my shit pipes from getting so blocked up.
Who's going to help us? Because I was reading an article today about an Oxford professor who thinks that aliens live alongside us and they are interbreeding with us to prevent catastrophe. Nice. I didn't read any more than that because I thought,
job,
I can't believe this guy is an Oxford professor.
Well, if that is the case...
Professor of what?
If that's the case, I hadn't thought about it much, but, you know, that sounds reasonable to me, and I'm glad that they're doing it.
I didn't realize that aliens were fucking us to success.
I'm saying, I wish they'd
fuck me more.
If you're out there, aliens, if you're listening to this, if I explain to Mrs. F, it's not another woman, it's an alien.
Yeah.
Do you mind if I fuck
we're
her?
Saving,
I'm sure she would be fine with it.
We're saving the human race here, baby. You can't be mad at me.
This is for civilization.
Yeah.
Right? This
the
is
alien
for all
gave
of us.
You some golden plates, which means you can have another wife.
Yeah.
But don't worry. No one else could see him.
I'm going to read him in this bag.
I don't think you fully appreciate the responsibility I've taken on my shoulders to save the human race here.
Come on.
Ladies, please, cut us some slack. When we're having sex with these alien ladies,
who,
just chill.
Are awesome. Like, the best hits. Like,
they're very good.
Oh, God, they're great. You could suck the chrome
women,
off a trailer
what women do
hitch.
You know?
Like,
what women do you know that you think could be aliens? Bleep that name again, please.
Don't use that name. Just bleep that name. Bleep that name again. All right, that's enough. Thank you, everyone. That is our podcast for today.
Yes.
You can follow Trifles on Spotify to get new episodes as soon as they come out every Wednesday.
Please do.
We have a Patreon.
We do.
Also, Pitch Please. I actually recorded my Pitch Please episode yesterday.
Nice.
So that should be out soon. It's a podcast where some of the guys talk about games and pitch. Because you've been on it.
We've all been on it. Yeah.
I did Dude Sim Alaska
for
mine.
So that's actually returning should be out by now, the first episode of the second season. So I'm very happy because I'm a great fan of that podcast. Yeah, and thank you for listening, everybody.
I have one last thing to add. It just occurred to me.
Go on.
I think Lydia might be one of the aliens because right. It would explain why she can't use Earth stairs.
Yeah, that's true.
Have stairs on the spaceship. She's not used to. She's used to a low gravity environment. Prove me wrong.
That does make sense.
I would love to, but I have no way to prove you wrong on this one.
Let's spread this around as a conspiracy theory.
Lydia is an alien.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Good.
All right.
Thanks everyone.
Bye.
Bye.